The Holy Ghost has a word for us tonight. This is his word. It's not mine. So did you wear your stretchy pants and your steel-toed shoes? Because this is one of those. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but Emma likes to joke about my teachings that usually all of my teachings are the kind that you have to wear steel-toed shoes and stretchy pants. But I don't know. God gave that. I don't know why he gave me that anointing to be bold and speak some things. Maybe it's because both of my fathers of faith were very strong, bold men, and they imparted that into me. So there, I have it too. So don't blame me. My kids like to say, let's make up a t-shirt that says, don't blame me, blame the Holy Ghost. But praise the Lord, it's going to be good. Amen. So what I want to talk to you tonight about is breaking free from bitterness. So how many, just by a show of hands, this is an innocent show, how many think that you deal with bitterness at all? It's okay. We probably all of us do in some form or fashion somewhere. Well, good. I have an honest crowd. Yay. We don't have to cast out any lying devils. I'm just teasing. So what is bitterness? I'm going to stay close to my notes. Usually I like to kind of go from the hip, but tonight I want to really give you everything that the Lord gave me. He gave me a download because I didn't know I was doing this till about, 2 o'clock? So we just kept going back and forth. We're being obedient. So what is bitterness? Bitterness is unresolved anger and resentment that has taken root in the heart. It often grows from being hurt. So we've all been hurt, betrayed, overlooked, or mistreated. And instead of healing, we replay the offense until it hardens into unforgiveness. How many can say that's true? It has touched our lives in some form or fashion. And I heard this, and you probably heard this, that they say that unforgiveness and bitterness is like drinking a cup of coffee with poison in it, waiting on somebody else to die. Because when you're carrying unforgiveness and bitterness, it's usually you that needs to make the choice to get rid of it, because you're the keeper of your heart, your own heart. You've got to deal with it yourself, right? So you could say, I'm not bitter, I'm just hurt, or I'm just angry. Well, if you go look up the words bitterness, frustrated, all those things, you're going to find peppered in there, hurt, angry, all those words are contained in being in unforgiveness and bitterness. So what you focus on gains authority in your life. What you focus on, what you magnify is what is manifested in your life. Whatever you exalt, you empower. So if you're exalting the wrong, if you're exalting how you feel about it, you're giving it power in your life. What you dwell on will dominate you. You're focusing on it, it's going to manifest. And when you magnify something, you give it room to lead you. Wow, that's so powerful. So when you're magnifying something, you're saying, here you go. And I just want to say that this is bitterness and unforgiveness, there's a spirit behind it. You know, we don't have the spirit of fear, but we have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. That word sound mind means sozo, it means safe thinking. We have that already in Christ, in him, in who we are in him, the righteousness of God in Christ. Righteousness means we are in right standing with him. So in that place, we've stepped into a safe place. We have good thinking. We have safe thinking. But when we step out into bitterness, unforgiveness, and all these things, we've stepped out of a protective place, and we've given way for another spirit to lead us, right? It's a spirit of offense, right? The louder you speak it, the more control it gains. And so how many of us, we've been offended, we've been hurt, we've walked in bitterness, and we talk about it. The mouth is the magnifying key that lets us know where your heart is. And if you're talking and you're talking and, oh, I just am venting, I just got to get it out. Well, I'm just going to tell you that venting is giving power to something very, very strong in your life. Because the word says that the mouth, the tongue has the power of life, or it has the power of death. You choose, because then you're going to eat the fruit of it. So if you've been spewing out some negative things and frustrated things and some bitterness things and some people have done me wrong things and I've been overlooked and I'm frustrated and all these things, I'm just going to say every one of us here can raise our hands to all those things, right? And we've been done wrong, right? If you've been in life at all, you've been done wrong. And if you've been in church at all, how many church people have we have here? Been in church all your life? I've been in church all my life, and I've been done wrong. I never thought Christians could treat people the way they treat people sometimes, Christians. And but it's up to us what we do with it, right? Because it'll either make you bitter or it'll make you better, right? Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it, and I love how it says this, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So many things that can be broke down in that. We don't have time to do it, but I do want to give you the Amplified Classic version, and it says, exercise foresight. What does that mean, to exercise foresight? It means to look ahead, be aware of what's ahead, and be on the watch to look after one another. What does that mean? That means we're to be accountable to each other. We're to kind of let each other know, I'm hearing something that's not going to help you. I want to just tap into that and just tell you I'm praying for you. Do you need to talk about something? Do we need to get something out on the table? Because I want to help you, because the word tells me that I'm to exercise foresight and be on the watch to look after one another, to see that no one falls back from and fails to secure God's grace. There's a whole teaching in that. His unmerited favor and spiritual blessing, in order that no root of resentment, rancor, bitterness, or hatred shoots forth and causes trouble and bitter torment. Now, I sat on a moment for these two words, on these two words, bitter torment. Bitterness has torment. We have to be careful that we don't allow unforgiveness to take root in our heart, because it will torment you. It'll make you feel bad all the day long. And it'll rob your present and it'll rob your future from you. Amen. And it shoots forth and causes trouble and bitter torment, and the many become contaminated and defiled by it. I went out of town and came home to my fruit basket. I had some oranges in there. I had some bananas in there. And one nice little orange had gotten all the green, brown, black stuff all around it, that fuzzy, powdery stuff. When you pick it up, it just tends to go everywhere. It falls off on the floor. It falls off on the counter. It falls off in your hand. It gets everywhere. It had gotten all over all my other oranges. I had to throw the whole bowl away. It was defiled. That's what happens when that bitter root, that bitter fruit comes out of us. It contaminates everything around it. And then you got to throw it out, right? So here's the signs of bitterness. Replaying the offense over and over in your mind. These are obvious, but I'm just pointing them out. Difficulty celebrating others' success. Withdrawing from people or holding grudges. So the withdrawal thing. Harsh or critical speech, especially about certain people. An emotional numbness or cynicism. And that word cynicism means to have an attitude or a state of mind that is distrusting of people. You don't trust anybody. Because I was like, what does that mean exactly right there? Because it can mean different things, different places. So it's good for us to look it up. So the consequences of bitterness, number one, is spiritual blockage. Have you ever just been like, I'm not hearing from God. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm not very sensitive. I really sensed him last year, but this year it seems like something's different. You might just check that gauge on your head that says bitter or better, because there could be a problem on the inside. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. There's relational breakdown. It's a consequence of bitterness, especially in relationships. Number one, it poisons your perspective. Everything you see is through those bitter glasses. Bitterness causes you to view people and situations through past pain, which can warp reality and block your healing. Healing emotionally, healing physically, healing spiritually. It builds walls, not bridges. Walls, not bridges. Instead of resolving hurt, bitterness keeps people emotionally distant. It erodes trust and isolates hearts. This is some good stuff, y'all. I hope you're taking notes. Number three, it fuels judgment and offense. It just makes it worse. And if you don't like this teaching, come back another time. You came on the night that I'm teaching on bitterness. We have some wonderful messages. This is wonderful too, but this is what the Holy Ghost said to do. Bitter people often replay wrongs, assume the worst, and struggle with forgiveness or empathy. Number four, it affects your physical and emotional health. Chronic bitterness can increase anxiety, depression, stress, and even affect sleep and immune function. And number five, it grieves the Holy Spirit. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Bitterness resists God's grace. That's where that sermon, that part in that scripture where it talked about you can't grow in grace because of bitterness. It resists God's grace and it obstructs his love flowing through your life. You know why? Because that spirit of bitterness, that spirit of offense is a spirit of strife. And we like to say around here, where there is strife is the manifest presence of the devil. Because where there's strife, every evil work abounds. And there's no place for strife in the house of God, in your house, in your home, in your heart, because we're carriers of his glory and his grace and of his love. Amen. And so we have to be in check. And I'm not saying we all got this perfect and I'm perfect and practically perfect in every way. No, this is a work in progress. Amen. But this is something that's good for us to know, to have our gauges ready to go so we know, hey, wait a minute, my heart's not feeling right now. What, God, deal with me. What do I need to deal with right now? You know, the Lord started talking to me, and I post this on Facebook today. I like to just post something edifying every day. And a couple weeks ago before I went to California, the Lord was speaking to me to go sing. He was telling me, he said, is your identity in being a pastor's wife? Is your identity in being a vocalist? Is it in all these ministries that you're helping? Is it in being a speaker? Is it in, what is your identity in? What if you didn't have those things anymore? Where would your identity lie? And I said, Lord, my identity is first and foremost in you, in Christ. And in that place, I can love people. I can be at rest in with who I am. And if something's taken from me, there's a change in my life, if there's a shift in the direction of my life, I can be okay with that because I've got God on the inside. And I know that where I go, he goes. And I can make a difference. I can make a change in somebody's life because I know who I am. My confidence is in who he is in me, not who I am. I'm nothing without him. I can't sing. I can't preach. I can't be a good mom. I can't be a good Gigi. I can't do anything without him. But in him, I can do everything. And I can be bold and I can be strong and I will fulfill the plan of God for my life. And that's something that I love to impart into others, into other women especially. That's part of my calling. And so in that place, I can be confident that I can walk in forgiveness. I can walk, not because of me, but because my heart is surrendered before him. There's something about a heart that's confident in who you are in him that removes that insecurity of who I am without him. Because that you are going to be insecure if you don't know who you are in Christ. And in that insecurity, that's where all the problems lie. Amen. You'll get offended at everything. You'll get frustrated. You're touchy-feely about everything. And what about me? And oh, no. You know, we don't have time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. We got to be full of the Holy Ghost, knowing who we are in Christ, so we can be about the Father's business, so we can do kingdom business. Amen. We're not trying to fix us, not trying to fix me all the time. I need to be actively doing what God's called me to do. And if my mind is on myself all the time, how can I possibly be fulfilling his plan? That's a little side note. Anyways, okay, so then we have health issues, and we have stunted spiritual growth, and there's every one of these could be a sermon in themselves, within themselves. But our growth spiritually will not take place. It will not happen if we are walking in bitterness and unforgiveness. We'll be sucking on that spiritual bottle for a long time. We will not be able to eat the meat of the word and digest it and receive it because we'll be in a place of offense. We're not open to correction. We're not open to instruction. We're not open to discipleship. We've got to go moving forward, but we've got to be eager to say, God, what do I need to do? Just like when he started dealing with my heart about that. It was like, okay, do I need to deal with this? I'm open. You know, I'm a leader. If I can't lead myself, I can't lead other people. And so I need to say, wait a minute, do I need to make this change? Do I need to make this adjustment? And then the moment I got over to where the other ministry that I helped, I got there, and the very first night, guess what was spoken on? Who you are in Christ. Everything is in Christ. Our healing is in Christ. Our purpose is in Christ. There is no lack in him. And in that place, there's no bitterness. There's no unforgiveness. There's no touchy-feely. There's none of this. There's confidence and a surety of who he's called us to be. We're an army of God. If our army goes out there and fights people with a wimpy attitude, I don't know who I am. I'm in the U.S. Army, but I don't know who I am. I don't know, you know. That would be scary. We got to be knowing who we are. That wasn't very good English, but we got to be knowing who we are. Amen. Okay, so I'm moving forward here. How to uproot bitterness. How many want to know how to uproot bitterness? First of all, you got to acknowledge the hurt. God doesn't ask you to ignore the pain. He says, bring it to me honestly. So you got to expose it. Number two, or B, letter B, choose to forgive. It's a choice. You have to choose to forgive. Forgiveness is not saying what happened was okay. It's releasing the control of it over your life. It's not giving it any place. That's what the enemy comes. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I believe he does it in that order because he's a liar and he's a thief and he wants to destroy, not just destroy you, but he's coming after your faith because he knows if he can get your faith, then he's got you. That's why he comes in to steal. That's why people deal with, I am the healed already. I'm not trying to get my healing. I've got it. But he's coming in trying to steal it from me. He's coming in to try to destroy my thinking about it. He's trying to dabble with my faith and what I believe about God and what's rightfully mine, trying to dabble with my authority and who I am as a believer. And if you give him that open door, if you just crack that door open and say, oh, maybe God's not going to heal me this time, guess what? He'll come right on in and take everything he can. You don't give him any place. Amen? So, choose to forgive. Forgiveness is not saying what happened was okay. It's releasing control. Letter C, release the need for justice. This is big. We had something happen to us years and years ago. I won't go into it, but it was just not nice. I really wanted justice. I wanted vengeance. How many of you have ever wanted vengeance? You start to see things, and you're like, yeah, I want some vengeance. And the Lord said, you know what I want you to do? I want you to write it down on a piece of paper. I want you to pray over it as your family. I want you to take communion, and I want you to put it in an old Bible and put it up on the shelf and release it and give it to me and forgive. And I said, my feelings don't feel like forgiving. And he said, good, because it's not about your feelings. It's about your faith. I choose by faith to forgive. And guess what? Tomorrow I woke up, and I had to do the same thing again. And the day after that, and the day after that. And finally, after about 3 or 4 years, honestly, it takes a while sometimes when people have done you really, really wrong. And it was wrong. It was bad. But I look back now, and now I see this pastor at meetings, and we love him. I really don't have any ill will towards them. I love him. And, you know, for me, it's like when people do you wrong, you just think about Jesus on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. I think half the time people really don't realize what they're doing. I think they're just doing things sometimes just because they're just doing their thing and they just don't realize how it's affecting you. If we can just have that perspective and believe the best, what does love do? What does 1 Corinthians 13 say to do? Love always believes the best. It never looks at a suffered wrong. It forgets the past. It always looks forward. Amen? It doesn't revel when others grovel. It wants to move forward and believe the best in each other. Praise God. So, Romans 12:19, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. D, replace bitterness with blessing. Pray for those who hurt you. That's scriptural. Bless those. E, fill your heart with God's truth. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. You know, there's a lot of people use this scripture just for funerals and for people when they've gone through some hard times. But when you're going through some things where it's causing bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart, if you'll fill your heart with the truth of the word, this is just an example. There's other scriptures in there that talks about dealing with hurt, having hurt in your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. And as I've said before over and over again, trust and rest go hand in hand. You can't do one without the other. So you got to trust God, and then you just got to rest in it. You know, there's something beautiful about that. There's a reason why the word says to labor to enter into the rest. It seems like an oxymoron to me, but there's a laboring sometimes just to let go of what's so frustrating, all the things that we're trying to do in our life, the control. We just need to release that control to him and just rest on the promises, amen, and knowing that he's at work and he's going to have his way in your life. He can't do anything if you've got your hand all over it, amen. If you're trying to make it happen, And it's you know, frustrating you all the time, you're just going to live in frustration. You know, every day, right now, the present for us is a moment where we can just embrace life. You can either sit here and be frustrated, mad at somebody, and hold on forgiveness. I don't think anybody in this room is doing that right now. Hopefully not. But when you think about how quickly time goes, and Mom and I were talking about this the other day, it's like, you know, I'm going to be 60 pretty soon, and it's like, am I embracing the here and the now? Am I enjoying life here and now? Or I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to be 60. Oh, that sounds so old. It seems old to me, but I don't feel old. It's just a number, right? And I know you older people are saying, that's just not that old. But I can either mourn over it and be upset over it and belabor it, or I can say, you know what? I'm going to live if Jesus tarries, I'll live until be 100, whatever. And I've got 40 more years. Wow. You can think about it like that and enjoy life. But if I'm sitting here getting mad and upset every day and just wallowing in my misery, I can't live like that. How about you? I can't live like that. We've got to enjoy. You know, Paul said this. He said, I've learned to be abased and I've learned to abound. And I think he had a clue because he knew his life was probably not going to go very smoothly. And you guys know about him. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was all the things. And you think, well, he had to get that a revelation of that ahead of time. It's like, I'm going to just learn to enjoy life. I think Joyce Meyer has a book. It says, enjoy, what is it? Enjoy your where you're at on the way to where you're going or something like that. And there's truth to that. Today is a new day. Enjoy this day. Every day is a gift. Amen? So, there went an earring. Part of an earring. Oh, well. All right, so where was I at? E, fill your heart with God's truth. Yes, I did that one. Okay, number 5. Freedom from bitterness is possible. God doesn't just want to heal your wounds. He wants to use your story to show his glory. When you release bitterness, you make room for peace, joy, and restoration. Bitterness may feel justified, but it will never produce the justice you long for. Only God can do that. Let him heal the hurt, and you'll find freedom and that revenge could never give. Praise God. Isn't that good? Amen. It's good. Okay, so here's a parable for you. I just thought this was really interesting, and it kind of goes with what I'm talking about. The parable of the bitter tree. Jesus often used parables to illustrate deeper spiritual truths. In that same spirit, here's a modern parable that reveals the danger of bitterness and the power of letting go. In a quiet village nestled at the edge of a forest, there lived a gardener named Elias, not Elijah. He was known for his vibrant orchard. Apple trees, figs, grapes, peaches flourished under his care, but in one corner of the garden stood a strange, twisted tree. Its bark was dark, its branches gnarled, and though it bore fruit, no one dared eat it. The fruit looked beautiful, but those who tasted it were left with a bitter, burning taste that lingered for days. Elias had planted that tree years ago after being deeply wronged by a close friend who betrayed him. In his grief and anger, Elias found a wild seed in the forest and planted it in rage, vowing never to forget the pain. He watered it with resentment, fertilized it with blame, and tended to it with his wounded pride. You know, pride is a big part of bitterness. It's hanging on to something, thinking that you can fix it with your wounded heart. It grew quickly. As the years passed, the tree began to affect the rest of the orchard. Its roots stretched underground, choking the roots of the nearby trees. Its bitterness spread into the soil, causing once sweet fruit to lose its flavor. The birds no longer came, and the beauty of the garden began to fade. One day, a traveler came through and asked Elias why he kept the bitter tree. Elias replied, "It reminds me of what was done to me. I just can't forget it." The traveler looked around and said, "But while you've kept the memory alive, it's taken the life from everything else." Elias finally saw it. His bitterness hadn't preserved justice. It had poisoned his joy. With trembling hands, Elias took an axe and cut the bitter tree down. He dug out its roots, though it took great effort. Then he replanted the soil with truth, forgiveness, and prayer. Seasons passed, and slowly the orchard came back to life. The fruit was sweet again. Birds returned. The bitter tree was gone, but the lesson remained. The moral of the story, bitterness may feel like a way to protect your pain, but it will slowly choke the life out of everything good in your life. Only when you uproot it can healing truly begin. So I saw that. I started thinking about, you know, the Word talks about how we have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is, what is it? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law, right? If you were in children's class, we learned the song, Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Guys, you know it? Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You guys don't know that song? All right, moving on. So I'm thinking about all the fruit of the Spirit that is already within us because we have the Spirit of God on the inside. We don't have to obtain it. We don't have to get it. It's already there. But what happens when we allow bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, all the things that we're angry about, it comes in and it gets on top, like I talked about that orange, it gets on top of our fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, and it drowns out the capability of the fruit of the Spirit to develop in us because all we're doing is harboring and laboring over keeping that stuff alive on the top. And it's pushing down what really is supposed to be thriving and living within us, right? And so when someone hears you talk, all that's coming out is what's right here. I'm mad, I'm frustrated, I'm overlooked, I can't stand this, I hate this part of my life, this da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All this stuff is spewing forth. And so I just started looking at what the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit is, bitterness versus the fruit of the Spirit. I'm not trying to drive this home, I'm trying to get you to think about, because I think sometimes we think too casually about what the enemy's doing. If an enemy were to come into this door right now, boy howdy, there would be some things pulled out and some weaponry of resistance, right? There would be, what they used to have rebellions back in the war days. I don't know all the history, but and they called them the resistance, right? There was resistance, and it was rebellion. And so what happens is there's a resistance that bitterness, that fruit, that unforgiveness is a resistance and a rebellion to the fruit of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. You get what I'm saying? It's pushing down what's really trying to come up and help us. So the fruit of the Spirit, how bitterness is the opposite of love. Bitterness holds grudges and refuses to forgive. Joy. Bitterness drains joy and fixates on past wounds. Don't talk about past wounds. Past wounds is yesterday. Past wounds is this morning. Don't bring it up again. Let it go. Peace. Bitterness stirs up internal unrest and relational tension. What does peace do? The word talks about it. Let the peace of God. Let means I have something to do with it. I'm allowing it. Let the peace of God rule and reign like an umpire in my heart and in my mind. And so that peace is supposed to be able to umpire when there's something that comes in and says, you're offended at this. Peace of God says, you're out. You are not allowed. This is not a safe place. Or, you know, you get mad at your husband or you get mad at your kids or whatever it is. You're upset about something. It's trying to rob you of your peace. The umpire says, nope, that thought is not from God. What do the promises of God say? It says that he supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I'm an overcomer. Greater is he that is in me. All the things that we know the word says about us. Okay. Kindness. Bitterness often expresses itself in coldness and sarcasm. I, for one, really don't like sarcasm a whole lot. As my children have grown older, they're adult children now. My eldest is 35. And sometimes there's a moment, let me just say it like this. There's time for sarcasm, and there's time for no sarcasm. Moms would agree, yes. And with husbands also, there's a time for sarcasm, and there's a time not for sarcasm, right? Yes, we agree. And so that's part of kindness, to consider and be sensitive to what the person is feeling at the moment. Is this a time for sarcasm? Nah, I'm gonna back away. Because I'm walking in kindness, right? Goodness. Bitterness can justify hurtful actions or attitudes. That's not goodness. Faithfulness. It breaks trust and it breeds disloyalty. Okay. We did the StrengthsFinders test thing. You guys familiar with StrengthsFinders? Most people are. And one of my top ones is loyalty. So for me, when someone is not loyal, I don't get it. It makes me almost angry, because I'm like, why are you being loyal? I'm loyal. I'm loyal to you. Why can't you be loyal to me? Give that same thing I'm giving to you. But you know what that is? That's faithfulness. And God's put that deep within me. He's a faithful Father. And so I'm going to be faithful. Amen? But the opposite is breaking trust and breeds disloyalty. Okay, gentleness. Gentleness, the opposite, responds harshly and defensively. When someone's being defensive with me, I'm like, my antenna goes, nee, 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 as a leader. Something's wrong here. I can feel it. There's a root of bitterness. There's some offense going on, right? And self-control. Bitterness reacts impulsively, especially when triggered. That is bitterness. That is unforgiveness. But the word tells us that we have self-control. And something that I love about this, I think I heard Joyce Meyer say this years and years ago. She talked about how they have that the fruit of the Spirit is bookends. The bookends are love. It starts with love, and it ends with self-control. How important those two bookends are to keep us in line. Isn't that good? All right, so understanding unforgiveness. I want to just briefly, how much time do I have? Yay, we've got time. Unforgiveness is the silent thief of peace. You might want to write that down. That's a good Facebook post. Unforgiveness is a silent thief of peace. While bitterness is the fruit, unforgiveness is often the root. It hides beneath the surface, often masked as self-protection, but in reality, it holds us captive to past pain. Whole teaching in that. We'll keep moving forward. Unforgiveness keeps us chained to the offense. It forces us to relive the hurt over and over and over. In doing so, we give power to the one who caused it. Whoa. And the one who caused it is really a spirit. The word says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. We all know that. But what does that mean? So when someone has done something to hurt us or wound us, it's usually something that is that has come as a snare. The enemy comes to snare us, to trap us, to get us caught up in something, to get us distracted and entangled in something that's not of where God's leading us. And when he does that, we lose time, we lose energy, we lose spiritual in-tuneness, we can't hear, we get offended, there comes the strife, and before you know it, we got to get back over. And you know what I love about this is the word is the word is the word. Jesus is the word made flesh, the word in spirit, the word in the spoken word, the written word. It comes in and washes us. We get in the word, we repent, we say, God, take this from my heart. Take this bitterness. I don't want to deal with it. I'm going to get in the word. I'm going to fill up. I'm going to let my cup be filled up to overflowing. So what comes out over me is goodness, mercy, faithfulness. And I'm not having to deal with this forever and ever. Amen? Such a good, wonderful feeling to know that it's instant. Praise God, because we can come boldly to the throne. So unforgiveness keeps us chained to the offense. It forces us to relive the hurt. And in doing so, we give power to the one who caused it. When we refuse to forgive, we close the door to healing and the abundant life God offers. And I'll just give you a little snippet, a little insight, stepping on the toes here a little bit. If you've been believing God for healing, if you've been believing God for finances, if you believe in God for some things, you haven't seen it for a while, check your love walk. Check your forgiveness walk. Check if you got bitterness on the inside. And I'm not telling you something I don't live myself. I'm giving you what I got. Such as I have, give I thee. Jesus taught us to forgive not only as a moral choice, but as a kingdom principle. These are kingdom principles. Matthew 6:14-15 says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is not about losing salvation. It's about broken fellowship and blocked blessings. Unforgiveness contaminates our prayers, our peace, and our spiritual clarity. Just for those reasons, y'all, get rid of the bitterness. It also invites torment. In the parable of the unmerciful servant in Matthew 18:21, we won't get into it. It's 21 through 35. The man who refused to forgive was handed over to jailers to be tortured. Jesus wasn't being harsh. He was showing the natural consequence of a heart unwilling to release forgiveness or offense. Unforgiveness locks us in a prison of our own making. And there's torment in that place. But there's hope. Praise the Lord. Da-da-da-da. Christ has shown us another way. He offers freedom, not just for the offender, but for us. When we forgive, we are set free ourselves. Praise God. Isn't that good? So thankful for that. So this, I want to end with this, just this portion here. Set your love upon him. As we come to the end of the teaching, here's the truth I want to leave with you. If you find yourself tangled in constant frustration, distraction, emotional weight, don't be discouraged. See it as a divine invitation. God may be showing you that it is time to set your love fully on him again. Psalms, I love this scripture. Psalm 91:14, it says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. There it is. We set our love on him. He delivers us. Deliverance isn't about striving. It's about loving. When we turn our full affection, our focus, our trust toward him, he begins to work in us from the inside out. The darkness that once clouded our view begins to lift. The lies lose power and the entanglements are broken. Praise God. There's power in the word. There's life in the word. Amen. God is looking for people who truly know him, who carry his heart and reflect his ways. If we are walking around with bitterness and unforgiveness and spewing forth junk, that's not his ways, and that does not represent him well. That's one of the things that we really encourage. I'll say encourage. We really impart into our leadership here is that when you come in here, you are now, your problems have been left at the door. We're here to deal with things, yes, but we're here to minister. We're ministers of grace. We come in with joy on our faces. Pastor Steve always says, what's the evidence of your being an overcomer and you're walking in the word and you're full of the Holy Ghost? There's evidence of joy on your face. If you've got pouty face, if you're mad at everybody, that's evidence of something else. So this is evidence that God is working in our lives and we are, our hearts are set on him. And the love of God is pouring out of us. Amen? Our cup is overflowing with his goodness. That kind of representation can only come from intimacy. God is looking for people who truly know him, who carry his heart and reflect his ways. He doesn't place people in positions of influence to perform, but to represent him well. I want to represent him well. How about you? Amen. So if you're feeling the weight of inner battles, take heart. It doesn't mean you're disqualified. Yay! We're not disqualified just because we've gone through some things and maybe we're dealing with some people or some situations in our life. It doesn't mean we're disqualified. It means he's calling us deeper. He's calling us deeper. Set your love upon him, refocus your heart, and trust this. He will do the work, sometimes suddenly, sometimes slowly, but always faithfully. Good news. So let this be your gauge and your goal, a heart that is fully set on Christ's love. Amen. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Amen. I love that old song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Because what else can outshine the light of his glory and grace? Nothing. No offense, no bitterness, no thing that's been done wrong to me. I love what one of my fathers of faith said. He said, unforgiveness is the most effective hindrance to faith. I love it because it lets me know if I'm walking in forgiveness, if I'm walking in, then I'm walking in faith, and my faith is working. Amen. It's actively working. Another thing, he taught frequently about walking in love and forgiveness, and it's essential that we're walking in that so that the power of God can be in operation. Another thing he said was faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. And so, praise God. Just keep the switch of faith turned on. Don't let that unforgiving heart, that bitterness, take root. Something Joyce Meyer said, bitterness and unforgiveness block the flow of God's blessings in your life. You can't receive his best when your heart is full of resentment. So what do we want to do? We want to deal with it. We want to confess it. We want to make the choice to walk in complete forgiveness. We love each other. Amen. Because we want to see signs, wonders, and miracles. We're going to see that. Amen. We're going to see the full manifestation of all the power and the glory of God in this place. We're believing for revival. We're believing for souls. We're believing for the harvest. Amen. And that's what we're here for. We're not here to have a platform to just do our thing. We're here to grow and go. We're here to gather, grow, and go, like our signs say out there. That's our method here and what we do. We come together so that we're being encouraged, we're being built up, like Ephesians 4 talks about. But I want to just ask a question. We've got 1 minute. Man, I can't believe I got through this. Some things help you talk fast. Okay, so I'm going to ask a question, and it's open. open. What fruit has bitterness produced in your life? That's a rhetorical question. And what fruit might forgiveness produce instead? Tell me what fruit forgiveness will produce in your life. Anybody? Just yell it out. Freedom. I love that. Freedom to believe God. Hear his voice. Spiritual freedom, right? Maturity. I love the maturity because I'm always about moving forward. I'm always about, okay, plan. I'm a planner. Okay, what can we do next? What can we do next? I drive my husband crazy sometimes. Planning the year out, it's like, what can we do next? Well, you can't do anything next if you're stuck and you're stuck in bitterness, right? What's one step you can take this week to begin uprooting bitterness from your life? That's kind of a hard question, but what's one step? Not really. We're mature Christians here. What's one step we can take this week to begin uprooting bitterness from our life? Well, we can repent, right? Confess it. Acknowledge it. That's the one thing I said. Acknowledge it. And then what? I heard it. Somebody said it over here. Then what are we going to do? We're going to make a... I feel like Barney. When he was repeating that, what was it? We're going to choose. We're going to make a choice to not allow it to take root in our lives. We're not going to talk about it, right? We're not going to focus on it. We're not going to let it touch our heart. I'm not going to let it lead me. I've been singing all my life, and sometimes I'll get up in front of people to lead worship, and there's different settings. And sometimes there's settings where people are just staring at you, and their hands are down like this, and they're not very happy that day. And I'm standing in front of them thinking, I'm not going to let you lead me. Because you can make a choice wherever you're standing to be a leader, right? And up here, you know, it's not just up here, but it's out here. We're leaders wherever we're standing. We're leading people into the presence. It's that whole, I've told this example before. I used to run. I don't do it anymore, but I ran. I used to love to run every day, and I was running next to this old guy. He was huffing and puffing. Oh, you hear that? Anyway, he was doing this wheezing thing, kind of like what I just did, and I thought, man, I cannot run today. I could not. He affected my run. I could not do it. The next day, I came in. There was a guy next to me. Dun, dun, just running, and I finished my run that day. It was easy as pie, and the Holy Ghost said, that's what you do when you're living your life as a Christian. You're either doing it well, and you're leading people where they need to go. When you lead worship, when you're living your life before me, you're leading people well, and you're helping them, or you're leading people bad, looking at your watch, pouty, mad. You're making my race hard today. Because we affect everybody that we are in contact with. That's the plan of God. We're connected, like it or not. The word talks about it. Every joint brings a supply of the Spirit. What spirit are you bringing a supply of, I'm going to ask? Because we can yield to other spirits. So let's be, and I don't mean that wrongfully. I'm just saying we can just be pouty or angry or frustrated or whatever. Let's be leading people the right way. Amen. Let go of bitterness. Let go of unforgiveness. Walk in the light as he's in the light. Walk in love, and it will dispel the darkness in your life. In Jesus' name. Father, we just